We're going to consider tonight Psalm 90, Moses' psalm. But I'd like you to turn first to John chapter 14. You turn just for a moment. We're going right back to Psalm 90. But start with John chapter 14 and verse 23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." That was the experience that Moses had. He talks about God being a dwelling place. Of course, he doesn't know the details we know about the way in which God brings that to pass in a person's life. Much of what he was experiencing depended on what would come in the future, what God had promised. But that was his experience. He was one who loved God. And it could be said of Moses, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Job experienced that. Abraham and Joseph and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah. Well, you could name one after another of the men of God. John the Baptist, Paul the Apostle, had a secret place with the Most High God, communion with God, that enabled them to enter in and to close the door. With the cell phone turned off, there's an atmosphere of peace and security and deep fellowship of a person who becomes a kindred spirit with the Almighty. And out of that milieu, he's able to view life with a wise detachment, to pray for what is really important, and to share an exaltation of joy that marks him as a true man of God. In a small way, it's like the Lord Jesus himself, who, many occasions, rose up a good while before day and found a secret place where he could draw near to God. And though he had a busy life and involved in many things, he was always dwelling with God. We're turning to Psalm 90. And I want to read Psalm 90 and then pray that the Lord will bless that. In that light of a secret place with the Most High God, experienced not simply by Moses, he said, "You've been our dwelling place." Secret place with the Most High God, where you draw near and find strength and help in his presence. Psalm 90. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return men to dust and say, 'Return, O children of man.' For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it's past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They're like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end with a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you for this wonderful song. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to appreciate it and to take it to heart, that it might speak peace to our souls and open between us and you a like relationship. Oh Lord, help us, we pray. Speak to us tonight. Minister to our hearts. Help us to see what you have revealed to us in your word. Oh Lord, bless us, encourage us, and help us. We look to you to watch over us now and to grant us your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verses 1 and 2, Moses quietly views God as the eternal creator and sustainer of all that he has made. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Verses 3 to 6, Moses considers the brevity of human life. You return men to dust and say, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it's past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers." Verse 7 and 8, he sees all of life permeated, overshadowed by sin. 7 and 8. "For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Verses 9 to 11. Ours is a short life lived under the shadow of God's wrath. "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" From verse 12 on, we have prayer. And he begins with the prayer of verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." We have a relationship with God. And we pray that God will grant a heart of wisdom. In verses 13 to 14, you've got a prayer for revival in Christ. Watch his heart lift to God. "Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." He knows in the midst of all the drawing near of God, lifting his heart, and calls God to rejoice, to help us to rejoice. Verses 13 to 14 is a prayer to rejoice in Christ. Verse 15 shows us the happy meaning of all that we've suffered. Fill us in on how it all worked to your glory. He wants God to show us the meaning of all our suffering. fill us in on how it all worked to your glory. Look at verse 15. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. I think in regard to that, the passage in Corinthians that speaks of our being known even as we are known, as if we can never know the magnitude of God, but we can know God in that day to the extent of our being. And it's as if he's spreading all our troubles and difficulties and failures before him and asking God, show the meaning and the purpose of all those things and how they worked ultimately to your glory. Help us see how you were working in our lives to teach. Well, that's verse 16. Help others to see how you were working in their lives to teach and to bless them. Look at verse 16. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And then it goes to verse 17. Seal what we have done for your glory. Verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. One wonders, how did Moses keep his head, keep his focus, continue to look forward to that which was important, be empowered to pursue the amazing life that he had? Where did he get the power? How did he detach himself from all the clamor and the chaos and the demands put upon him? How did he keep the kind of quietness of spirit that he needed to be the man of God that he was? Well, I would suggest he got aside to the secret place with God. And it's interesting that he prays not like I so often pray, and perhaps you. So often I pray like I had a basket of needs, and I pour them all out before God and expect him to sort them out. That's not the way he's praying at all. He's not gathering up his needs. His needs were at him from every side. The demands were everywhere upon him. But it wasn't that he gathered up all his needs in a basket and said, Lord, help. I have to do that very often. I haven't got it organized, or I'm not thinking. I haven't got a philosophical viewpoint on the things that are going on. And so my prayers are like a basket poured out. Lord, you sort it out. But it isn't the prayer that Moses gives. Moses stands back and evaluates and sees the situation and comes before God for a moment like a philosopher, viewing the struggle, viewing the thing from a larger viewpoint, not all caught up with the details, but having the ability to see, this is what we're up against. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we are in the presence of God. A kind of approaching and pouring out his heart with some understanding of what he's coping with, and calling upon God not to just come and help fix the needs that I face, but rather, Lord, come to me. Lord, I worship you. The thing is filled with worship. While it's describing the faults and the failures and the rightful judgment for sin, he's worshiping God and recognizing God's hand in all these things. I think after this experience, after his praying before God and pouring out his soul to God, I think the morning after he wrote the psalm, he turned back on his cell phone, called his secretary, and wondered what was on the schedule. Because he had a very busy life and many demands. But there was in him a strength that could face them because he could pull back, because he could view what he's up against, because he could recognize the hand of God in the situation. Not coming to question God or to panic before God, but declare this is what he sees, and know that God saw it and understood and could lift his soul to God and call upon him. It's something of the wonder of entering the secret place, the place where you can go in and shut the door and draw near to God. The kind of thing that Jesus spoke about when he spoke in John 14. A person that loves God and obeys him, God draws near. in a special way. Not simply to pull together all the fragments, but to enable us to think it through, recognize the demands, to see what the needs are, and to honestly bring them before God in worship. A wonderful hymn of worship. Worshiping God in the midst of recognizing his own people's struggle and his need. Moses drew near to God in a remarkable way. We can ask ourselves, do we have a secret place with God? Can we escape from the turmoil to contemplate his greatness and to put into perspective what he has shown us? We probably would get more done if we could somehow cultivate that secret place with God. Beautiful picture. And it's always been the case of the people that have been true men of God, women of God, have been those that have dwelt in the presence of the Most High, have known the reality of Jesus drawing near, have experienced the fellowship that Jesus talks about when he speaks in John, have known that. And so it can say, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. It's wonderful, the relationship that God has with the great Christians, with the amazing men and women of God. But it's a place that we have, all of us can have, as we turn off the cell phone, shut the door, and commune with God. Moses sees it as the place where although throughout the history of mankind, there have been those who dwelt in the secret place, who drew near to God in such a way, happened before time, or from the very beginning of time, saw God overseeing the life of man, the beginning, the middle, the struggle, and the end, of viewing it all, and as Moses able to put into categories those things and lift them before God to pray to God for them. And God would have us have a relationship with God in the secret place, a place where we're not simply rushing in to pour out our needs, but a place where we can come and worship and exalt God and recognize the things we're up against and call upon God to help us, to bless us, and to be with us. There is a dwelling with God. I can't speak of it as one who knows it in the way a great man of God does, but I could see it in the great man of God and envy it in the great man of God and see it in the Lord Jesus himself, who came to earth, needed those times to draw near, needed those times to get away from the crowd, to get away from even his disciples, and to go to the secret place. They often didn't even know where it was. They had to look for him and try to find him. And then they were quick to give advice on what he should do. Remember the time that he had been all night in prayer, and they came up to him and said, the people are looking for you. And he said, I have another place to go. He knew what he was doing. When he had great responsibilities, he poured out his soul to God and rose up in daylight to name his disciples, to appoint them to their places. He carried a quietness and a peace of mind in the midst of all that he struggled with and all that he suffered, with all the clamor that would draw his attention, sailed through in a sense, felt the clamor, responded to it, but had that quiet inward peace, that quiet inward trust in God, which Moses reflects in this wonderful psalm. He who confronted these things and saw the amazing panorama of death as the sins brought people to judgment and swept away a whole generation while he waited 40 years for them to die. We see Moses able to relate to that, to feel anxiety for it, to get involved with those that are concerned, but having an ability to get alone, to be with God, and to look to Him for help, and to worship Him in all the areas of struggle. Can we worship God in the areas of our struggle? Can we find the very difficulties we're facing an occasion to draw near to God and give Him praise, and Him in whom we live and move and have our being, exalt and magnify His name? Psalm 90 is a wonderful psalm of worship, as the whole condition of man, with all its struggle and with all its failure, is before God, and he worships God in the midst of it and looks to God for help and blessing. His prayers are essentially, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. May God give us that desire to come before God and say, teach me, O Lord, to number my days, that I may get a heart of wisdom. That what days I have, I use for the glory of God. I use in such a way as to honor your great name. O Lord, teach me to number my days, to recognize that I'm not going to be around forever. How do I use my time in such a way that God will be magnified? Teach me to number my days. And then the prayer that God will draw near. Return, O Lord. O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We're looking for gladness and rejoicing. And we ask that God will be our satisfaction. How many of us are in that state? We sing hymns which are people that exalted Jesus. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men. There's a worship in that, and a recognition of the struggle and the problems of the world, but a putting them aside in order to glorify and honor God. There's a wonderful worship of God in the midst of all the turmoil that gives a kind of peace that makes you strong enough to face the turmoil. I'm always, the contrast has come to my mind, and again and again I think of myself and my own prayers, so often of dumping things and expecting God to sort them out. May the Lord help me to become more of a philosopher, more of having the ability to look at the situation and see it, see the categories of struggle, understand the way they are, not get them all confused, but understand the categories of struggle that I have and be able to bring them before God in worship, and then pray, God, teach me to number my days. God, revive my soul with joy. Help me to draw near to you, and teach me, show me how all the details of my life have worked to the good of, to the glory of your name. How the bad things I've struggled with were a part of your purposes in order for your name to be praised. Praying that God will show us, make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us. What were the purposes of the affliction? Make us glad for as many days as we've seen evil. And let the people that come behind, those that come behind us, find us faithful. Be glad all the days of our life. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. How you desire that you would leave behind a legacy that those that come behind should find you faithful. Well, he has those are the ideas that are picked up from Moses and made into songs that have helped us. But here's the desire that the end of it being pretty clearly, let those who come behind us find us faithful. I'd like us, when we'll pray first, but I'd like us to sing that song. I think that, I don't know how you always listed on the overhead, but that longing, let those who come behind us, find us faithful. After all the years have come and gone, after all the things have been done, that desire, may those that come behind us find us faithful. May God give us that sense of all of these things that we face are all a part of a picture of what God's doing. All make it Him worthy of praise And may God in all of this show us that which he has us to see. And then show others what they should see in us. And help us, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Lord, undertake for us. Well, those are the things that I think touch upon what Moses is experiencing. There's an awesome place where he's drawing near to God in the secret place. There's a place to turn off the cell phone. There's a place to draw near with a heart lifted to him. And it seems to me Moses is there. May the Lord help us to be there more and more as we finish the end of our days.